Too late, little girl. Too late.
I think it's good that we start the show out torturing it.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
Just yelling at a
just yelling at somebody. Her mom's a huge fan. Jill loves the show. Her kids are amazing. I had dinner with them in Free Elm, Sherry. And it was really fun. They were so well behaved. And everyone, here's the greatest thing. Kids really can't be a really good judge of character. So they're fighting over who gets to sit with me. And that is always the best. But then when you sort of run out of tricks to kind of keep them entertained, and then they start, like, you see them crawling over the other one to get away, and, like, they'd rather sit with the other guy.
Then you feel bad, like, you just weren't up for the job.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
They lost all respect for you.
Yeah,
it's
when you have to pull the quarter out of the kid's ear, you know, you're diving in the ear. Start doing all those old man tricks. Oh, it's just I found behind your ear. A cat. All right. I almost didn't want to do this story.
Four reasons.
We're contractually, we have to have Hannah on at least 4 hours every day. But also because, before she gets on here, let me poop all over the story. It is so common, right? It's like, oh, do you hear about the chicken that laid an egg? This is like, suddenly turned into the old man again, pulling the quarters out of the kids here. It's just so commonplace now. What is our reaction supposed to be? That's my setup to Hannah. I know she's been slaving over doing anchoring, so here she comes. Am I jaded now, Hannah? Huh? Is that what's happened? Oh, by the way, Tom, hold on one second. Let me just say, Tom not here. It's a Friday. Okay. Tom's absence brought to you by Tom's mom. Okay, Hannah, I told Sherry that I said this story. I told Jacob this happens so frequently. Why is this even news?
Well, because this is actually pretty extreme. And you're right. This assaults at the courthouse or on 3rd Avenue in King County for, I don't know, I think as long as I've been in here, that's been something that's gotten increasingly worse.
Yep.
The safety around the King County Courthouse is an ongoing issue. There's City Hall Park, which is connected essentially right there where I think somebody was murdered there in the last few weeks. And, you know, there's been over the years, right, I think it was it might have been even the King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, who was attacked in the crosswalk, or someone, one of the officials.
Yep.
It's constant because you've got the day shelter that was across the street, and now it's kind of just at the park. Yeah. So it's an ongoing thing. But this, it's usually outside, right? Because you go, if you've not been to the King County Courthouse, you go in, you go through security, you know, they check you for your medal and all of that.
Let me just say something for Sherry, if Sherry's sake, because she refuses to live here because of the crime. No, Sherry, it was so dangerous that they closed down the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the main entrance because that's how dangerous it was. And they'd have you come around the other side just to fake out the people that wanted to hit you over the head with something. So that's and then Reagan Dunn, King County Councilman Reagan Dunn, said, I have an idea. Why don't we take all that business out of there, or at least do something to protect people? Because there's plenty of video of people getting hit over the head and a whole bunch of other things as well. People getting stabbed and stuff. So to fix the problem, they closed the entrance.
They did.
Yes.
They did.
Did they reopen it again?
You know what? I keep meaning to ask that, and I am not sure. I know that this person entered on 4th, is what I was told, though.
Okay.
So that other is still there.
All right.
But this is absolutely terrifying, and I have to tell you, as somebody who goes and does interviews with various officials who work, the sheriff's office is right there, for crying out loud, on the first floor, right by where you go through security. We heard yesterday a woman who works at the courthouse went to the restroom at 10:15 in the morning. Inside a stall was a man described as a homeless guy who tried to rape her in the bathroom stall. I'm just going through I just got the charging documents actually right before I came on the air with you. This is just absolutely terrifying. You do not expect this at 10:15 in the morning when you go to the bathroom. Yeah. Here, this is Sergeant Randy Hustrick with SPD. He explained what happened.
According to the initial call, the suspect had entered the female bathroom on one of the floors and then assaulted the victim when she made entry into the bathroom. She screamed, and that person then made entry into the bathroom and was able to aid her, and then additional officers responded. She, obviously terribly frightened and probably shaken up by what had occurred, but was taken from the seen by a family member.
So she was checked out at the hospital, was not sexually assaulted. Those were the marshal guys, right, who are right outside. Because, again, the bathroom is right next to security.
Yeah.
So they were able to hear her, but they came in and they saw there was just the guy was completely naked, pants around his ankles, had her in the stall, pushing her face like up against the wall. Mm-hmm. It was a whole struggle. It's just, it's awful. And they got him off of her, and she was not terribly injured. She was bleeding from the face a little bit, things like that. But just absolutely out of control. And courthouse workers are like you, John. They said, we see this.
We need to clear the streets and make them safe around here for people to get access to justice.
Right, because that's what you'll hear from the presiding judges and all of these people. I interviewed several years ago a woman who works for one of the judges in that building who took the train and came through when the tents were all up there under by Gessler, kind of, who was followed and had some really creepy stuff happen to her. And they're all just terrified. And jurors, too, right? Oh, yeah. That's what she's saying there, because if you're summoned to jury duty there, do you want to go? Well, some people probably not. And then, like you said, Reagan Dunn, a King County Council member, he's just had it. He heard about what happened, and he says, we need to shut that park down next door with all of the homeless encampment and things that is going on there, and let's shut down the courthouse. We just won't let anybody in unless they work here or they can prove that they have business here.
County taxpayers have spent $1 billion in providing homeless services and building, constructing, and purchasing housing. It is not now unreasonable for us to ask as taxpayers, hey, these individuals need to come off the streets into that housing and other shelters we provided.
So let's get it done. So, yeah, it's just really a horrific case.
So, Hannah, I have a question. It seems like a lot of the focus is the fact that this guy was homeless, but he's also a repeat offender, right? I mean, he's someone that has. Is the issue really more that he was released too soon? I mean, he was in prison, what, for 21 months or in jail for 21 months?
Yeah.
Was that long enough, given the fact that he's got a history of sex offense? And maybe that's the bigger issue here.
And, well, so now he will likely get longer. So let me run down what's going on. So, yes, it was in 2019. He had four, like, in rapid succession. They were sexual assault types. They were more kind of groping incidents, but there was one that was a little bit extreme and that rose to the level of a felony. And he was held for a long time. They actually did not sentence him until July 16th of this year, but he had already been held for that 21-month period, so he got out like 5 days later. And clearly that wasn't long enough. He said he was at the courthouse yesterday because he was going to look for somebody that he had gotten into a fight with somewhere, and then changed his mind and suddenly decided it was a good idea to be with a woman.
Oh, okay. Rather than assaulting somebody,
he said he wanted to be
at the courthouse. Yeah, I see. He's going to do his own sort of justice there.
And he went in the bathroom and he hid in there, by the way, right? So there was nobody in there.
In that courthouse, federal courthouse, are men allowed to go into women's bathrooms?
I don't believe that they're gender neutral. I could be wrong. I don't really pay attention to that. I'm not certain.
Okay. I would assume, because one of the first executive orders that Biden signed was that type of thing, that the federal government looking and recognizing transsexuals and equal rights and stuff. It was one of the first or second that he signed. I would assume that they would have come down with something like that. That's a federal courthouse. Those bathrooms
No, it's not a federal courthouse. This is the county courthouse.
Oh, this is the King County one.
Right.
Yeah,
but either way,
you're not allowed
you're not allowed to go and hide in the big bathroom stall with the door closed and then lunge out and grab somebody, put your hand over her mouth, and drag her in there. That's not allowed.
Right. No. Not allowed. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Just to clarify,
John. Yeah, clear
good
that up.
Know.
Right. Let me say that you remember my guy that I introduced you to, Jeffrey N. Carey Dewey? And I said to him, make a prediction for me. And this was about 4 months ago when you and I talked. And I said, make a prediction as to what's going to happen for Seattle. He said, S rolls downhill. Expect things to get worse and worse and worse. This is just the beginning of a scene from Escape from New York. And he told us that back in, I think, May or April. Mm-hmm. And if you look, here he is, Jeffrey N. Carey Dewey, a former meth addict. A guy that was on the streets, homeless for 15 years, in and out of prison, was able to kick it and ended up saving himself. He's got a great girlfriend. He's got a great life. He's come back again. He and I are going to go ride motorcycles one day coming up in September. And he said, here's what happens. When you decriminalize the drugs, the criminals come to get the drugs. When you tell the cops you're not going to do anything, when you only have less than 1,000 cops, which we will have in a couple of months, you will not have any enforcement of anything, and people will come from other states. This guy that went into the bathroom and assaulted this woman, allegedly, is from Montana, right?
Yeah. I do believe so, yeah.
Right. So you look at most of those, a lot of that homeless stuff, again, not criminalizing homeless, you're down on your luck. We're going to criminalize the fact you throw rocks on cars, going to criminalize the fact that you defecate on the sidewalk, going to criminalize all the other stuff that goes into behavior. But you look, a lot of people are from other states that come here. And I asked why, and he said, why not? I can live here and not get hassled. It's all about not being hassled by the man.
Yeah, look, this, I'm gonna go back to Sherry's question because I really want to make this clear. But to Sherry's question.
Sorry.
I'm listening here.
There's a lot of different things going on here, right? There's a homelessness issue. There's a drug issue. Yeah. There's a history of sexual, being a sexual predator, right? This person, he told the cops in this interview that he had, this woman, it was somebody that was in his fantasy that he had never seen her before the bathroom, but he spoke as though he knew her as like this old, like made up reality, said it was going to be, there's certain words I can't say here on the air, but it was a meth rush situation, where you want to have this kind of sexual experience. He is a person based, I'm going to kind of veer into opinion here.
What?
Based on my,
not on
what
this
I've
show.
Seen in covering
there will
this.
Be no opinion on this show,
listen,
Hannah.
He's a sexual cut predator that's out there running
Sean,
just loose. Turn it down. It's scary. It's scary because he seems like he has these urges, whether they're fueled by drugs or some sort of mental health issue, that is just going to do what he gets that urge to do. And that is absolutely terrifying for anyone out there on the street. For I can't imagine what I would do if I walked into the bathroom stall alone at the King County Courthouse, as I often do, by the way, when
and by
I
the
go
way, they
to
take
do
away,
interviews.
They
and
take away your gun.
The stall.
They take away your gun when you go in the door.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Probably a good thing, because if that guy had a gun, we'd be talking about something different.
Mm-hmm.
If this happened on any other floor in the courthouse, it would have been much worse, because you're alone usually. They're not as populated. There's not as much going on. I want to get into the aggravating factor. They just charged him. He's being held on $750,000 bail. The judge agreed to that. And a rapid recidivism aggravator, which I'd actually never heard of, will allow any sentencing, should he be convicted, to be much longer than these 21 months, up to 10 years because of that aggravating factor.
I see. Well, look, here's my final opinion, and Sherry can say something as well. I believe these people are sick. It's an illness. It is an illness. It's a sick person, right? I mean, if a person had cancer, you would treat them with the sympathy they have cancer. This is an illness. The behavior is the effect of the illness. The illness is a bunch of problems, and then the drugs and the alcohol and the other stuff. So, yeah, you don't want to criminalize the illness. You have to treat it. But we don't want to, because we keep using the term, you don't want to criminalize homelessness. So we're loving these people to death, and we don't care about the victims. We care about the people that are creating the victims. That's what happens in Seattle, because don't forget, all cops are bastards. That's my final line.
And Sherry, I'm going to let you talk in just a second. I just have to say this. Look, homeless or not, drug addicted or not, you're a sexual predator. That's a different deal.
Exactly. And I think that's the issue here, is that this guy was going to do it again and again and again, because he does have, that's the illness that he has. Yeah. And that can, generally speaking, that can't be treated. That can only be solved by putting him somewhere where he can't hurt anybody else.
And they specifically say in the court documents he's not okay with a less restrictive alternative, which is something they do with sexual predators in our state, because of this past. He's only been out of a couple of days. Look what he did.
Hannah?
Yes.
Have a good weekend. I'm going all the way to the end, and to the end. There goes Hannah. I want to get this in. Larry Kudlow. Is he sober in this? Because we used to like playing his cuts. Because there was a couple of times he's like, look, the president is trying to get the economy going again. And so I think it's early enough in the morning. He suggests the best way to get people more vaccinated is you got to bring Trump's Twitter account back.
I think President Biden should go to President Trump and ask him to help. President Trump has been out there unambiguously, get the vaccine. And that's going to help solve this temporary, I hope, Delta strain. Furthermore, Sarah, I think that these media tech companies like Twitter and Facebook should put his account back in operation so he can appeal to the entire country to get the vaccination. And literally the rest of the world, because everybody focuses on him. Now's the time to do it. Unity. Biden should go to POTUS. and say, welcome, come on in, I need help, and these media tech companies should restore his platform.
I'll add one more thing, Larry. You get yourself another one. Here's the deal, because he's all about making the deal. He'll say, look, give me 2 weeks to have my Twitter account up, and we have 80 million unvaccinated Americans. If I can move, let's say, 30 million in 2 weeks, you let me keep my Twitter account up for another month. So you give him these sort of steps along the way, right? And then it's like, then he gets up to 80 million, he hits 80 million, and Donald Trump gets his Twitter account back and a guarantee from big tech that they won't shut him down again. Because I'm telling you something, the people, there's a lot of people that love Donald Trump, want to hear from Donald Trump again, and that might be the thing, like, I'll give up this to the government if you give me this in return. Obviously, the million dollars, the $100, all the other stuff. LeBron James telling one of these guys who doesn't care about LeBron James being a super woke athlete, they would listen to Donald Trump. Donald Trump comes on and says, look, here's the deal. Get the vaccine. It's huge. And if we get 10 more people, guess what? I get my Twitter account back. You have to do the trade back and forth on that right there. By the way, patent that. Sherry, will you fill something out for that? That's kind of my thing. You can jump in on that if you want to.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I really do. I think he makes an excellent point. And he was talking to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and she said that she thought that Biden should say, hey, let's give him credit for helping with the vaccine and doing all that and join forces with him. It'll never happen in a million years, but I think it's a good idea. He could really motivate people, no doubt about it.
If they started calling it the Trump vaccine, it would begin to sort of change that mindset. So, how was that? Were the little girl? Are you happy with that one?
I think I like Tom better.
Okay, you know, there's still chance.
She's talking about me. It's okay.
I know. She's still chance for you to gain her affection. Why don't you pull a quarter out of her ear? All right, let's check in with Tracy Tills. Got to look at traffic for us on a Friday. Is everybody heading to Watershed?
Watershed.
Over drinking, over thinking. Ever since you left, I've been gone.
I like Dirk Bentley, short hair, not crazy perm hair that he had earlier. How many with me on that? Let's open the phone lines. This is, by the way, Watershed is a great concert. It takes place at the Gorge, Sherry. Oh, what was that?
Nobody's calling, John. Okay. It was an extension on your dumb joke.
The line is still open. 1-888-973-5476. Who liked Dirks with curly hair? Hey, is it just me? What? I had a chance to do country music, and I, as a DJ, and I kept thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the music. It's my favorite kind, but that kind of like, and don't forget, a quarter after the hour, we're going to be, you know, find out the grossest thing your husband does.
Was it country music in the morning? Yeah, in the morning.
Oh, my God. But I love it. Watershed, huge concert. I know people like, they're listening to Tom and Curly Show while they're driving. To have 72 hours of country music, but they're really torn. So we're going to bump in with country music to satisfy both the listeners of Watershed and then, of course, the Tom McCurley.
Oh, so you mean Nicole and Brandy Cruz?
Moving on. Hey, by the way, you might have gotten a great deal flying here to Seattle to go to Watershed. Segue. And then all of a sudden, after you book it, then it's like you get a message in your little email there telling you that there's a bit of a change, Sherry.
Yes. The takeaway from this Wall Street Journal article, I think, is very important.
Okay.
It says, you think you're buying a seat, but what you are buying is transportation from one place to another. And the airline has the right to switch flights and seats whenever it wants to. So don't think that when you book that seat that you're guaranteed that, because you're not. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. They booked during when they knew the pandemic was going to start to end. They got these cheap tickets. And now the airline's saying, you know what, we could probably sell that for more money. So we're going to switch your seat and put you on a flight that has 8 connections and all of that stuff. And people are furious.
Wow. That's the weird. That was that weird Seinfeld episode where he goes to get the rental car and he's like, what don't you understand about a reservation? I mean, because he went 30, I have a reservation. And they're like, yeah, we don't have any cars. Yeah, but I had a reservation. This seems the same sort of thing. You book it, you pay, right? And then you get the acknowledgement that you paid. And you're like, okay, that's getting me my thing. And then they come back to you and they have rerouted you and put you on a different plane at a different time. And the price is different?
Well, they can change. No, they can't change the price on you. You've already bought the ticket.
Right.
But they have the right to say, instead of you getting into Seattle at 10 a.m.,
yeah,
we're going to get you into Seattle at 5:30 because we're going to put you on this other flight that connects through another city.
Okay.
So it's, you know, just because you think you've got this one way or this nonstop ticket,
uh-huh,
they have the right to mess around with that if they want to. And apparently this is very big with Delta, so much so that the CEO actually sent a memo out saying that these challenges are temporary and to bear with the company.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people are saying that, you know, this one story was terrible. The guy said he wanted to speak with a representative. The representative called him back, or somebody called him back, at like 3:45 in the morning. So it's like,
hey,
yeah,
the guy cares. He woke up at home, wasn't at work, and thought, I got to call that guy, and called him. I think that's commendable.
Customer service.
That is customer service. I would assume that the airlines, when they work all this stuff out, legally they're probably allowed to do this for a variety of reasons, right? The plane,
sure,
you could say the plane broke down or weather,
right,
or this. You have to have that. If not, people will be like, wait, I booked it for that date. I got to be on that date. So the suspicion is that they're doing this, canceling. It's the old bait and switch. You get you on and then move you over to another one. And then they take your seat that was available for you and sell it again somewhere else to somebody else. So they've got your seat going direct to Seattle or to New York or wherever, right?
Right, because they can make a lot more money, and they can use the blanket excuse of scheduling changes. In other words, they've had changes across the board, and you're just a victim of that, and what can you do about it, and how can you prove that they don't?
Is there anything we can do? I mean, should we go down there and protest, or go to Edward Bastin's house? He is the CEO. He's also the guy that appears in the pre-flight thing on that Delta Airlines. He's like, hi, I'm Edward Bastin. Welcome to Delta. The Delta family cares about you. We want you to have a safe flight. We want you to know how important it is to us here at the Delta family that you are part of our family. I'm like, phew, God.
That was a great rendition.
Yes.
With the exact amount of expression. I love it.
Thank you. All right, so there's nothing you can do other than the fact that just check it, and then I would go down. What I would do, I'd go down to the airport, and this doesn't seem too aggressive, and I would wait and find the person that had my flight. So they canceled my seat, and I go down there and find the person that now has my seat, and I would just stand there and heckle them. Hey, have fun in 1A!
Well, one woman did threaten to sue, and then they gave her back her original itinerary. But, I mean, what sue on, based on what? I mean, I don't know. I can't believe that actually scared them, but I guess it did.
Hi, I'm Ed Bastin. Go ahead and sue. Okay. By the way, look out. Don't get mad on these flights because these flight attendants are now.
They are taking a defensive stance against a growing problem in the air.
By the way, every self-defense class gets down to one thing.
Flight attendants are training to hit, elbow, and gouge simulated aggressive passengers, with actual passengers getting more violent than ever.
You are going to possibly die. You need to defend yourself at all costs.
Undercover federal air marshals are guiding 8 flight attendants through this self-defense course, the first class offered by the TSA since training was paused by the pandemic.
It's sad that it needs to happen.
Flight attendant Carrie is taking this class, having just returned to her airline following a leave of absence.
Are you scared?
Sometimes, a little bit, yeah. You get on a plane full of people and some of them aren't very happy and you just never know what's going to happen.
A brawl breaking out on a Frontier Airlines flight is among the latest unruly passenger incidents that the FAA says are skyrocketing. Federal documents detail how passengers have shouted down, grabbed, and struck flight attendants thousands of times since the start of a zero-tolerance policy earlier this year. In May, a passenger punched a Southwest Airlines flight attendant, causing her to lose 2 of her teeth, according to her union.
DentalSpecialtiesNorthwest.com.
There's no backup at 30,000 feet. So that plane is in the air. That has a crew that has to deal with the issues. And it's incumbent on us to make sure they're fully equipped.
Federal officials say some passengers are fueled by alcohol, but most are fighting back over the federal transportation mask mandate, which make up...
Sounds like they're beating this guy up.
3/4 of all incidents reported just this year.
It's so bad out there.
Sarah Nelson of the Association of Flight Attendants says...
Okay, I'm done. Listen, here's all those classes. You ever take one of those self-defense classes, Sherry?
I took judo one time when I was in eighth grade, and yeah. I dislocated my elbow and never did it again.
Okay, so you took it just to learn how to dislocate your elbow?
Yes.
So you got your money's worth. Good.
Yep.
No, it is always like, you know, try this, try that. And then the last resort is you always knee him in the groin. That's the whole thing. You get, the class could be over. You go in there. You don't have to put your coffee down. The guy just explained, just knee him in the groin. That's the whole thing. Or you can tear a human ear off with less than 20 pounds of pressure. Or you can tear the badudududud off in less than 10 pounds of pressure. And poke him in the eye. And but all that other stuff, the people cheering and yelling. They have to do this for legal purposes because that's a we taught them how to defend themselves. It's their fault their tooth came out.
Well, I mean, do you really think a flight attendant...
I'm Ed Raston. I'm sorry your tooth came out. Perhaps you didn't do well. Self-defense class.
Do you really think their lives are in danger, though?
No.
I mean, he said you're fighting for your life. Over what? A can of Coke and you didn't put your trash in the bag they bring by?
Hey, Sherry.
Please.
Your attitude has got to change because we've got two more hours of this. Right, Tracy? Huh?
Right.
There
yeah, straight
go.
Up,
right.
Sherry.
Oh, Sherry.
I'll shape up.
You
all right.
Kia Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL, the biggest and best in the business. Not the biggest, but the best, obviously. It's Laura Keelan, everybody there. Caring desperately about your mortgage, want to refinance, do it today, save yourself some money. Mortgage rates still low. 1-888-778-KIEL. I found more of the flight attendant training. Here's the this is the more advanced class.
Away from your opponent. Look, sir, I really don't want anything of this. And I go like this, and I slit your throat. And it's over and out. Everybody underestimates the kick in the groin. It, boom, that's the first thing to do. I follow up, bang, bang, bang. Right away after that, dang it, dang it, dang. See what I'm doing? Boom, that's the left elbow right there. I can also deliver, bang, headbutt out of nothing. Boom, turn it to favor. Ding dong, don't you looky, look what we got here. Smack his face,
into the
create
wall.
Distance, and grab a chair. You can slam it into his face, you can stab with it, and while I throw it at him, I will kick him in the groin, boom, right straight, gonna bounce his head on the table 10 times or something. Dong, don't you ever do this.
There we go.
That was flight attendant Betty.
That's one. It's the guy teaching them, banging your head on the table. Sir, would you mind putting down your tray table while I bounce your head off it? Dom, ding, dong.
Kick in the groin.
That's Boss Rudin. He's the best. All right, so you have a sister that lives next to the Loch Ness Monster, and apparently people don't want the Loch Ness Monster to be discovered or not to exist.
Well, it's my sister-in-law, and she lives
really,
in...
really built sentence here. Let me punch myself in the head. Go ahead.
I'm going to kick you in the groin. So she lives in Inverness, Scotland, and we visited her a couple of years ago, and we went to see the Loch Ness Monster area and all of that, and it's its own little town. I think you've been there as well, John, right?
I did the story on the guy that apparently sits there every day with binoculars, which he doesn't sit there every day, but go ahead.
Right. But he's a tourist attraction like the rest of the town.
Yes.
And so before the pandemic, hotel rooms were going for like $250 a night. Mm-hmm. And they have all these monster hunting cruises and all of that. But what they're realizing is that I guess people aren't really buying the Loch Ness Monster thing anymore because they're doing DNA tests and the DNA comes back that it's a lot of eels and things like that. And the people that are defending it are saying, wait a minute, there's 20% of the DNA that was unidentified, so maybe that's it.
Wow.
But yes. Yeah,
that accent you just did, I felt like I was there.
Uncanny.
See, you get that from your sister. They don't want to give that up. The other thing they've got going on in Scotland is the dog that sits next to the old man's grave.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. That's another one that they, you know, you go on a grave and a dog is sitting there. And he says, oh, his master died 50 years ago. And it's like, really? And the dog's there? Oh, all the time. So then I don't know how they figured it. I guess they know the bus is coming up with the tourists. And they let the dog go. And they must either chain it to the ground or I guess maybe they do something like this.
Right away you say, okay, I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
Not to a dog.
No,
do it to a flight attendant. Don't do it to a dog.
No, to a tourist. To a tourist.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Tracy Taylor, how are we doing on the Friday?
I sure hope he doesn't beat up on the pretty little lady in the pickle jar.
No. Oh, I think that's what's happening. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. New idea.
We need to stop that.
No,
we need to stop that. Please stop.
We can't.
He comes in.
No, we can't do
boom,
that.
Boom, front kick. Boom. Boom. What? Simultaneously, the elbow in the head. Grab his wrist. Grab your own wrist and bend his arm. I control him.
Okay, there we go.